Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Humat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, hour number four for you and me, huh, Jerry?
That's right.
That's right. But the 3 hours have gone by. You see this sheet here? Look at all these people. This is getting close to another record breaker. A lot of calls today. We did have that little lull about 10 minutes ago. It was so weird. But now all the lines are full and we're jammed again. So.
Yep. Well, I guess everybody figured we were going to be full and jammed. They just didn't call.
I suppose that happens.
Then you told them, no, they're open. Bang.
Bam, they came. Here they go. Glad you're with us. The first 3 hours have been very full. Very few questions about
COVID.
The only good thing that I can say is that our wonderful, wonderful governor has now, as of a few minutes ago, allowed foursomes to golf together. Instead of, for the last week, he opened up the golfing for twosomes. You can't be in the same cart. You have to walk or take separate carts. And those of us who have golf, I golfed this last week. It was wonderful after this long delay. We, for the life of us, couldn't figure out why foursomes couldn't golf. But anyway, we can do that. So good news.
Yeah. I'm just wondering which governor you're talking about. I was thinking of Inslee, who is a flake and a nutcase. But, you know... So I see why you think he's wonderful, because of course he's allowing golf. Now the businesses, of course, all have to shut down. Restaurants are all starving to death. Waitresses and busboys have no jobs and, you know, are out of work and having to get in the food lines. And
30% of small franchises. I heard somebody say that 30% of small franchises are going to
bite. Are going to go under. Yes, they are.
Oh, and my God.
So, but, you know, but the golf is open. So I understand why you're thrilled. I would prefer it if my friends and neighbors could actually go to work and feed their families. But, you know, they don't own golf courses.
It's a sad day we live in. Personal liberties is a whole new topic, and I wish we'd actually talk about it more, but that's another story. Thank you for being with us. Let's just get right to taking some more calls, shall we? Let us go to Kirkland and talk with Bill. Bill, thank you for calling.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
About 4 years ago, I had a sudden onset of sneezing, swelling, watery eyes, and I thought that, you know, I think I got a first-time food allergy. Ended up in the ER with the adrenaline, and then I had a follow-up. And they tested me for all kinds of different foods and things, and weren't able to come up with anything. And the doctor said it's very unlikely that you would have these inhalation symptoms from something you ate.
That's true.
And more recently, like within the last week, I was eating an energy bar. And I noticed that one of the ingredients was whey protein, not very much of it. And each time I had one of these bars, I'd notice a little swelling in my nostrils, a little edema, like I was maybe coming down with a cold. And just putting two and two together, I'm thinking, I wonder if it was the scoop of protein powder I had with my walnuts and oatmeal back in 2016 might be the culprit, and then this little amount of whey protein is giving me a much lower reaction. And well, I just wonder, have you ever heard of anything like that?
Yeah, some people are allergic to milk proteins, which is what whey is. Your whey is the leftover when they're making cheese. And so it's a high protein, high casein content of a waste product, and all they do is they dry it out and call it whey and sell it in 50-pound bags as dietary proteins. I almost never recommend whey per se. Hydrolyzed whey proteins are different. And if they do a good job of a hydrolyzation process, what they do is they take the whey and they break it down. They enzymatically break it down to the constituent amino acids. So there are no true proteins left. There are just the amino acid, the free amino acids that at one time made up the protein. So they disassemble the proteins. I like those as a supplement for people that are trying to build muscle. Because these, you don't have to digest the protein. You drink the hydrolyzed whey, and you've got just now the free amino acids that get in your bloodstream almost immediately, and your body can use them to build your own proteins without having to go through the process of digesting the protein first. It also then gets rid of the worry about allergies, because some people are allergic to casein. Which is the primary protein present in whey. So, you know, if they used whey as an ingredient, that could be the issue. It would be the casein you're probably reacting to.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, so that helps a lot.
Yeah. So if you're going to use a whey-based supplement, make sure that it says that it is hydrolyzed, that you're taking the free amino acids, not the intact whey protein.
Okay, and is there a different
Yes, there's a soy-based
supplement
version
I could
too.
Use and just avoid the whey altogether?
Yes, you can, sure. These protein supplements come from either whey or soy. Those are the two common forms. So soy protein works perfectly well. It's not as close to human proteins as whey is, because the whey comes from an animal. And, you know, mammals are more closely related than peas and beans are. soy is not as close to us. It's not as efficient for building muscle, but it also is much less likely to give you an allergic reaction.
Well, if I'm looking for the amino acid, is there a supplement I could go to, cut to the chase?
Well, I mean, that's the whole purpose of the whey protein amino acids, where you've broken down something that is from animals. The other thing, of course, you can just eat animal, chicken, fish. If you eat that an hour before your workout, that gives you enough time to break it down, digest it, and get the amino acids into your bloodstream. And if they are in your bloodstream while you're exercising, then you utilize them more efficiently to make new muscle.
Oh, very good. So I shouldn't exercise on an empty stomach and then hit the pizza joint after hiking all day.
Now, it depends on what you're trying to accomplish. If you want to burn fat, exercise on an empty stomach. Okay. If you haven't eaten and you're burning calories, you've got to get those calories from somewhere. And what you do is you burn your fat. You break the fat down and you do what we call gluconeogenesis. You turn the fat into sugar and you burn the sugar. Yes, exercising on an empty stomach is more efficient to burn fat. Exercising following a protein load is more efficient for making muscle. It depends on what you're trying to accomplish. Great. Okay?
Very clear. Thank you.
All right.
There you go.
Take care, sir. Bye.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, that opens up a line. I suggest you jump in at 1-888-312-5757. Let's go to Renton and talk with Casey. Good morning, Casey.
Hello,
hi.
Casey.
I just wanted to know about what type of diet and supplements and different things can be used to enhance the immune system to keep it, you know, really up there and help prevent anything like the COVID thing, even though there's no way to actually, I think, prevent it. If it's going to get you, it's going to get you. But you know what I'm trying to say?
Yes, I do. I mean, as a man in his 70s, this is important to me.
Yes, so. I would think so.
Okay. A couple of things. First of all, it is less what you eat than how much and how often. If you want to boost your immune system, the couple of things you want to do. One is you want to exercise regularly. Working muscle produces more than 100 different growth-related, immune system-related, we call them myokines. Okay, myos means muscle. The myokines are actually produced by working muscle. Muscle that's sitting there doing nothing doesn't make them. Working muscle. So the more muscle you've got, the more intensely and frequently and long longevity it is exercised, the more myokines you produce. And those are big boosters of the immune system. They decrease inflammation. They help you to grow new tissue. All very good. The other thing you want to do is minimize the amount of fat on your body, especially visceral fat. The fat inside your belly is a very active, destructive gland. It produces more than 80 different inflammatory cytokines that actually cause inflammation. They lower your resistance to disease. They cause you to form plaque in your blood vessels. So fat causes destructive pro-sickness cytokines. Working muscle does the opposite. Okay. So that's really where your lifestyle needs to focus. Mm-hmm. Be as lean as possible. Exercise regularly with good muscle mass. Diet? Sure. You want things that are going to do just what I described. You want high fiber, especially older people, relatively high protein loads, because protein helps to make muscle. Fiber triggers incretin production within our proximal gut and allows us to alter our glucose metabolism, lowers the amount of insulin we need to drive sugar into the cells and burn it. So high fiber foods, good protein loads, avoid simple sugars, avoid too much carbohydrate, deeply pigmented fruits and berries, those brightly colored things, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, peaches, apples, things that have more color to them. Eat squash, eat pumpkin. Not necessarily sweet pumpkin pie loaded with whipped cream, however.
Oh, come on.
That's my favorite.
I know. It is for most of us. But take your squash and just cook it.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
And sweet potatoes, yams, all these things that are green and yellow and red, these are the colorful foods. Those colors are signs that you have a variety of polyphenols in there that, again, help to decrease inflammation and helps to stimulate your immune system.
Okay, and so
does that answer your question?
Is that protecting your lungs, though, specifically your heart and lungs?
Anything that protects any part of your immune response is protecting all of you.
Okay.
It's all one body, and the mechanisms for protecting your heart and your lungs are about the same as protecting your tush.
Okay. All right. Also, I wanted to know, my job is not sedentary. I
Good.
Still work, and I'm walking, moving all the time, bending, stretching. I mean, Good. It's not formal exercise, but, I'm never still for, 5 hours a day. And in that setting, is that still not enough? I mean, I probably should lift weights or something. but
yeah,
I'm
you
not
know,
really
even sure. even 20 minutes of formal exercise a day. Activity is great, but some resistance training helps.
Okay.
Resistance training where you're lifting, pushing, pulling, dragging heavy stuff, making those muscles really work to the max is of benefit.
Okay.
So there you go. KG, thank you.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Glad you called. Wonderful questions and comments. Now, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, we've got Lois, who has a question about AFib and bad eyes. And then Annette has a question about resveratrol and green tea, two of your favorite
two
items.
Important compounds, yes.
Okay. And then Mary has a question about dry mouth. A lot of reasons to stick around. We'll be back before you know it.
I've been a longevity patient at the Tacoma Clinic a little over 3 months. So I've lost a bunch of weight, improved libido. I quit drinking wine, which was not easy. I really appreciate what you do.
In every other song that I've heard lately, some fellow gets shot, and his baby and his best friend both die with him, as likely as not. In half of the other songs, some cats cry, are ready to die. We've lost most all of our happy people, and I'm wondering why.
Get ready here. Yes. That's a good idea.
About the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey dovin. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
That song should become our theme song. Let's think about living. Let's think about life. That's what longevity is all about. A quick reminder. I mentioned this about 3 hours ago and about an hour and a half ago. We did a major rehaul and new staffing, new scheduling, and because we've had a real serious problem with finding enough of the free health analysis appointments. And even though we haven't solved the problem for the immediate, in other words, the next 2 or 3 weeks, we did do some rescheduling so that from here on out, we're going to have more. And that means in the second and third week of June, if you'd like to grab one of those free health analysis appointments, we were able to put on just 2 days ago, Thursday, we were able to add 20, just about 20, average of 20, in each of our three clinics. Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland. So that's very good news, even though you have to wait a little, and we apologize. But you can grab one of those free health analysis appointments. Remember, you get two free tests, a blood test and the in-body test. And the masks, free masks for you and your family members that actually live with you in your home. And then also $100 of longevity supplements. And we make about 30 or 40, and you can take your pick, $100 of longevity supplements. Little incentive for one of the free health analysis appointments. So don't have any for the immediate future, but starting in the latter part of the first week of June and then week number 2 and 3 of June, they are there on a first-come, first-served basis. So you just go to our website, lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. Push on the tab there right on the main homepage and schedule your own appointment. It's easy, easy, easy to do. And again, on a first-come, first-served basis. So I wouldn't dilly-dally. Go grab them. All right. Let's do this. I believe I've got Dr. Michael Gilbert on. Michael, I think this is the third or fourth time you've called
in
today.
Yeah, this is the Michael Gilbert show today.
This is the Michael Gilbert show today.
The Jerry and Michael show.
That's right.
Thank you for tuning in.
But the reason is that we're going to go to Tumwater now and talk with Lois, who has a question about AFib and bad eyes. Is that right, Lois? Is that why you were calling in?
Yes. I can't read anymore, and I'm a horrible, terrible, awful bookaholic.
right.
Oh, that's too bad. And so you, what's your, I've got Dr. Michael Gilbert on with us with Northwest Vision Institute. And so what is your question, dear?
Well, I've had this for a long, long time, and I went to some places, and I wasn't happy with them, and so I just quit going. And I tried to eat right and exercise and do all the stuff that I just heard on the, I can't remember his name.
All right.
Nixon.
Dr. Nixon with an M. That's right.
Yeah. He just went down all the stuff that I try to do all the time. And sometimes I do better than others. But I don't want to go blind.
Okay. Do you know what your diagnosis is? Are we looking at macular degeneration or glaucoma or what is it?
Macular degeneration.
Okay.
Michael?
And are you being treated? So certainly the with your atrial fibrillation can have an association with retinal vascular disease, just as it can brain retinal disease. But there's no specific correlation between atrial fibrillation and macular degeneration. If the main reason that you're having trouble reading is macular degeneration, I have two thoughts. First of all, you can compensate for some of that macular degeneration with magnification. So specialized glasses may be able to get you back. There are also video imaging systems that can get you reading again. But I think the most critical part and time critical part is that you make sure that there aren't components of your macular degeneration that are treatable. Yes, there are some nutritional things that you can do to limit the progression. That's important. But in at certain stages, there are drugs that can be used that can stop or reverse the degeneration, or at least the blood and the fluid that forms that destroys that central vision. So to make sure that you're seeing someone who can do that imaging and make sure that you aren't someone who would benefit from some of those miracle drugs that have been able to stop the central loss of vision, and even reverse it, that would be very important and time critical. The longer you wait on that, the more it can affect the amount of recovery that can be had.
Well, I decided I was going to come and see you when I could get an appointment.
For something like that, we'd make sure that you would be seen within a few days. Because
okay.
Literally that can change day by day.
Oh, my.
Okay. I can be there whenever you say.
All right.
It won't shock you. I don't make appointments myself over the phone. You can do it online. but if you just give a call first thing Monday morning, they'd be glad to set you up with us.
Okay. I just have a phone. I don't.
That's okay.
That's okay. Let me give you the phone number here.
Have you got a pen? Write this down here, lady.
You got a pen? Okay.
Yep.
It's 425-450-2020.
Thank you.
I'll say it again because there's other people out there listening that are writing it down too. And the number again for Dr. Michael Gilbert is 425-450-2020. Now, he's in Bellevue. You call that number, and when they answer, you tell them that you talked with Dr. Gilbert yourself personally on the radio this morning, and he said that they could get you in within a few days, and let's see what happens there. But I suggest you do what he says. That is real good of you, Dr. Gilbert. So thank you, Lois. Anything else for either one of the doctors here, Lois?
Well, I don't really know what AFib is, except they said it was my heart, and I'm taking some gobbledygook that I don't want to take.
Well, Jerry, I'm not sure how to respond to the gobbledygook here.
So. Okay, well, basically, atrial fibrillation is where the upper chambers of your heart, we call them the atria, as opposed to the ventricles that are the main pumping chambers. The atria are at the top, and their job is to kind of push the blood down and load it into those big main pumping chambers. And so they're supposed to coordinate. They contract just an instant before the big chambers do. In atrial fibrillation, instead of contracting rhythmically like they're supposed to, they're just kind of sitting there wiggling. They're totally disorganized. The electrical impulse is not going across the muscle in a smooth way. And by wiggling there, two bad things happen. One is it decreases the effectiveness of your heart's pumping by 15 to 25%. A young person can lose, say, 20% of their output, and it's not a big deal because they got more heart than they need. But old people don't have all that extra reserve. And so decreasing your heartbeat's effectiveness can be serious. It can decrease your ability to do things, to exercise. Your energy levels can make you fatigued. The other problem is up where those atria are just wiggling instead of contracting, the blood gets stagnant up there and it can form clots. We call this a thrombus, a mural thrombus. And those clots can break off and get pumped out of the heart and into your brain and cause a stroke. The theory is that they can cause tiny, tiny blood vessels, tiny, tiny blood clots that can cause retina infarctions, where you can actually plug up some of the blood vessels in your eyes, as well as into the rest of your brain.
Both the arteries and the veins, exactly.
That's right, yeah. And so you can get in trouble from that. You can pump these clots out into your arms and legs and basically stroke a finger or a whole hand or an arm. So this can be serious. So usually if you're in atrial fibrillation, we usually put you on something to prevent you from forming those blood clots.
Okay. And what would that be?
Well, the most common drug is called sodium warfarin, which is basically Coumadin. That particular drug is cheap and easy to use, but it does increase the risk of bleeding significantly. And then they've got some newer ones that don't result in bleeding as often. They bleed about 1/4 as much, but instead of costing $20 and $30 a month, they cost $250 and $300 a month. And so they're far more expensive. But on the other hand, insurance usually pays most of it. So most people on Medicare, for instance, will end up paying like $40 a month, not the whole $200 or $300.
Yeah. Well, regardless, Lois.
Well, you need to see the doctor about your atrial fibrillation. And the physician will then write the prescriptions as they believe you need them. We obviously can't prescribe for people here on the radio. Okay.
I know you can't. So, I'm already taking all that stuff, and I wonder because I can't remember stuff like I used to.
Yes, that is a problem.
Let's do the best we can here. We've got Dr. Michael Gilbert, who has made some good points, and he thinks you need to be seen right away.
Yes. And then once you see him, he can probably kick you on over to a cardiologist who can give you the stuff for your atrial fibrillation.
That's right. So you've got his number. You go ahead and call and make that appointment with Dr. Gilbert at Northwest Vision Institute. You've got the number. So, we are glad you called, Lois, okay? And Michael, I'm glad I caught you again today. You've really helped out, because when people call about some of these issues, there's nothing better than getting the best. So thanks for being a part of it, Michael.
Thank you, guys.
All right. That's Michael Gilbert, Dr. Michael Gilbert with Northwest Vision Institute. Give him a call, for goodness sakes. Don't let your eyesight just go and go and go. 425-450-2020. We got a lot more coming, a lot more questions, and we'll be back in about a minute or two.
I've been a longevity patient for about 17 years, and I can remember back in the day, I listened many, many, many times before I took the plunge. Because at first I went from skeptical to, you know what, I'm going to do it.
Only you. as well seem right. Only you can to make the darkness bright. Only you and you.
And no, Jerry, I never met the Platters. I wish I had. I would have loved singing with them. I would have looked a little weird up there, but...
you would have.
But they were...
But you'd be the token white guy.
The token white guy. So, I would have loved it. Anyway, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. And I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon with me here in the studio. He, by the way, if you're new to the program, is the founder and chief medical officer for Longevity Medical Clinic. Started the clinic back in 1998. Started this show on 570 KVI the next year in 99. And has been going strong ever since.
Yep. So having a good time.
Here we go with more calls. Let's go to Graham and talk to Annette. Welcome to the show, Annette.
Thank you very much. I have decided to add resveratrol to my many supplements that I'm taking, and looking at them, the options online, I noticed that there is a resveratrol that is made from grapeseed, and there is one that is made from Japanese knotweed, and the knotweed is significantly more inexpensive, and I was just wondering, is that one as efficient or whatever, you know? Does it have all the good qualities that the grapeseed extract has?
Yeah, resveratrol is resveratrol. I mean, as long as the purification process is accurate and what you're getting is the real resveratrol, you have nothing to worry about. You know, resveratrol is a compound that is found in a whole lot of products. It's found in the skin of most fruits. It is one of the colored products. For instance, red and dark grapes, the dark blue and purple and red grapes. Most of the resveratrol is in the skin, not in the pulp. That's why red wine contains the resveratrol, because they keep the grape skins in the fermentation process.
But you probably can't get all you need of the resveratrol anyway by just drinking wine.
Well, there's about 8 milligrams of resveratrol in a bottle of red wine. And in our more potent resveratrol capsule that we sell, there's 350 milligrams of resveratrol.
Ooh, that would be a lot of wine.
So, yeah, that would be, you know, I don't know, 50 or 60 bottles of wine. So, yeah. But
my
yes,
liver
we
might suffer after that.
Yes, it definitely would. So yes, the source is less important than the purification process to make sure you're actually getting the resveratrol. You know, we started with a 200 milligram capsule, and then I kicked it up to a 350 milligram capsule just because we use it a lot for brain protection, for cognition. So, you know, I personally take 1,000 milligrams or more a day. I take three 350 milligram capsules daily, two in the morning and one at night. So that's my personal regimen. Does that answer your questions?
Yes.
Well, you're welcome,
ma'am. I have a question about green tea as well.
Yes.
I wanted to start drinking that, maybe replacing some of my coffee with green tea.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering, can I drink it cold, like making iced tea out of it?
And, you certainly can.
Okay, good. And still get the benefits from it. And also,
yep, it doesn't have to be hot.
Okay, good. And then they have a lot of different types of green tea with things like the one I picked up at the store. It's lemon ginseng green tea. I mean, is it okay to get those things added to it, or should it just be
No, it's fine. Well, what you're really after with the green tea, per se, is the epigallocatechin gallate, which is one of the primary polyphenols present in the green tea. And that's a very potent anti-cancer sort of drug, increases apoptosis and cell death in cancers. So I like people to have plenty of that. Lemon, if it's got real lemon in it, is fine. In fact, I've seen a study that says simply adding citrus juice, like lemon juice or orange, to your green tea increases the absorption of the ECGC. So you absorb it significantly better if you throw a little bit of lemon juice in with the tea.
Or you said orange juice too?
Yeah, it just said it was citrus.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it is the citrus. It doesn't matter whether it's lemon, grapefruit, orange. Lemon is common, so it's easy to use. So that's always good news. And, you know, ginseng has some benefits in and of itself. But again, I don't know how much ginseng you're getting. Green teas come everything from the white teas, which are the very, very juvenile, the early tea, baby tea leaves. That's why they're more expensive. It takes more of them to make a pot. But that doesn't have as much of the bitter taste. The older the tea leaves are, the bigger they are, the older they are, you get more of that kind of bitter tea taste for the green tea. So what else? So yeah, I try to get one in between.
This particular brand had lemongrass in it, not actually lemon juice.
Yeah, I'm not so thrilled about the lemongrass. I would just buy this plain green tea and add a little lemon juice of your own to it.
Okay. How about buckwheat tea? Have you heard anything about that?
Don't know anything about buckwheat tea.
Never heard of it, but no.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can make a tea out of almost anything organic. You put almost any organic compound in hot water and extract the compounds from it, and you've got a, quote, tea. The green tea has been extensively studied, though. It has all kinds of health benefits. So I'm a big fan of green tea.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for answering my
You're
question.
You're welcome, ma'am. Sure. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, when we come back from this break, I've got Mary, who has a question about dry mouth, and Rick has a question about berberine. We just talked about resveratrol. I know you're a fan of berberine, too, because you've got me taking it. So don't go far. We'll be back in less than 2 minutes, and we'll talk with Mary and then Rick.
There are certainly a lot of benefits for being a patient at Longevity. Strength, endurance, energy, they're all increased, and I feel absolutely great. I'm in my mid-70s now, and I see no end in sight. Thank you, Longevity.
What a drag it is getting old. Kids are different today. I hear every mother say, mother needs something today to calm her down. And though she's not really ill, there's a
I don't know what little yellow pill Mick Jagger was talking about, but it is a drag getting old, and he's looking it, by the way, but they're still singing it.
He looks ancient, but he looked ancient when he was 30.
That's true.
So,
that is so true.
Just an ugly guy.
I would say that. Yes. I'm not sure I would say it on the radio. But
well, I just did, but, you know.
Okay. Let's go to Seattle. Talk to Mary. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Mary. Don't you think Mick Jagger is ugly?
Well, I certainly don't think he's attractive.
All right. She's got so much more tact than you do.
She does. She does. I had some couth, but I think I left it in my other pants.
Okay. So, all right.
How can I help?
Well, it's been about 6 months, and I've got quite a severe case of dry mouth. My throat is also feels swollen. In the middle of the night, I wake up and literally can't breathe from my mouth. I am using, the doctors can't see me till all this is over, but I'm using a product that has some oil in it that it opens it up in the middle of the night. I mean, I wake up gasping. My eyes, not so much. I do put a gel in it at night, but the throat thing is quite severe, and my tongue is stings most of the time.
Oh, dear. Okay. Most common causes of dry mouth are just plain medications. You know, so there's a whole lot of drugs that can cause dry mouth. So that's
other medications.
The only medication, The only medication I take is a melatonin at night.
Okay, well, that shouldn't do it. All right. Okay, there are some gums that contain, I'm trying to remember what the sugar is now. Oh, darn it.
I don't chew gum.
Yeah, but you may need to. That's my point.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, there is a sugar that does that your body can't metabolize. This that causes you to secrete more fluid.
Okay.
The brand name is called ACT. ACT.
I've seen.
You know, I saw that. I saw that on TV, but I had just ACT. Okay, I want to look into that one.
Yeah, and
biotin is what I'm using now.
Okay, well, and that's reasonable to try too. Yeah, and darn, I wish I could think of the name of the sugar, but there's a sugar that doesn't cause decay that your body can't metabolize.
Well, it's xylol. It's xylol.
Yes,
it's xylol. That's what these can. Two of my kids are nurses, and they were seeing it's a alcohol sugar. That's
yes.
What these contain, both of these. I mean, it's very temporary, but
yes, it is.
Doctor.
Go ahead.
The doctor on the phone said that they would test me for it's an autoimmune disease, starts with
scleroderma. Yes, scleroderma.
What exactly is that?
Well, scleroderma is a genetic defect disease. It's an autoimmune disease in which you basically dry all your secretory glands. So you get dry eyes, dry mouth. You don't sweat very much. You don't produce much in the way of oil glands. It can, in its more severe cases, start causing lung problems because you start all your secretions get very thick and mucousy and want to start plugging things up. So, some people have very mild cases, some have more severe cases. So, yeah, scleroderma is a more serious autoimmune condition. If this dryness is doing more than just your mouth, if you're getting dry skin, dry eyes, and so on, then yes, getting worked up is an excellent idea.
Is there any helps for that?
There are. It's mostly a matter of suppressing the autoimmune disease. You know, you have to kind of damp down the immune process to some degree. And so frequently it means going on one of the more potent biologics, that same sort of things we would use for rheumatoid arthritis and so on.
I do have arthritis, not rheumatoid. okay, well, I guess I just wait this thing out and try and get the testing done. And
yep.
Just like it says, getting old sucks.
Yeah, it really does.
And you don't think the melatonin could have anything to do with?
No, melatonin is not causing this at all.
Okay,
Mary.
All right,
thank
Mary.
You.
Thank you
for
much.
The call.
Appreciate
You're
it.
Welcome, dear. Bye-bye.
Well, let's go to Bellevue and talk with Rick. Hello, Rick.
Hello, Rick. Rick is going to talk
coming.
To us. Here he is. Hello, Rick.
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Okay. Yes, you're on the air.
Cool. So I'm looking for an alternative to Crestor. I'm just concerned about the liver. Even I heard about ALS. It seems to be increasing my glucose. And the issue I have is not diet. It's with the liver. I just got a bad liver. It likes to produce cholesterol, it seems, or the bad
okay.
stuff. So without any without any supplementation, my LDL is around 130 or 140.
Okay.
With 20 milligrams of Crestor, I get it down to about 100.
All
so,
right.
What's currently on my list, maybe you can help me sort through it, is berberine, vanadium, and resveratrol.
Okay, well.
Or any combination of the above, I guess.
A wide variety of plant polyphenols have been shown to help to lower cholesterol. So, yes, everything from resveratrol to berberine have, you know, have had people looking at them. Studies are usually showing some modest decrease, but it's not gangbusters. Red yeast rice, of course, is in many ways resembles the statins. So, but it is often used. How old are you?
60.
And is this a familial trait or something that you just kind of popped up with?
It is, I would say, familial.
Okay.
So my sister, her HDL, my HDL without taking anything is around 38.
So low. Yeah, it's lower than we want it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Okay, well, let me
kind of
give
you
let me give you a little different take on this. Cholesterol is the mother hormone, okay? It's not there to do you damage. It's actually what you make all of your other steroid hormones out of cholesterol. It is the precursor that makes pregnenolone, dehydroepiandrosterone, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, cortisols, all of these are made out of cholesterol. As we age and our end organs are failing, your testicles are not making testosterone like they used to, a woman's ovaries are not making the estrogen progesterone like they used to, your cortisol levels are starting to drop. All of your steroid production is decreasing. And coincident with that, we seem to start ramping the cholesterol, which is the precursor. It's the thing we make all of these other steroids out of. It's almost as though your body is trying to drive you to make the testosterone, dehydroepiandrosterone, pregnenolone, progesterone, and so on that you used to make. And what we have found, and many other doctors are finding the same thing, if we replace all those end organ hormones, if I move all those other hormones back up to where they were when you were 25 or 30, all of a sudden it gets very easy to lower your cholesterol. Because you're already making the stuff. You have enough of the stuff that the cholesterol was supposed to get turned into. Now we've given you that all back. You don't have to have as much cholesterol.
You took my cholesterol, by doing those things, you took my cholesterol from 260-something to 160.
Yes, we dropped Pete 100 points by giving him back the end organ hormones that he used to, you know, that he made as a young man and doesn't make anymore. And so that's, you know, that is one approach that basically gives you the advantage of having the strength and energy and drive and ambition and sexuality of a young man. And it lowers your cholesterol in the process. I kind of like that approach.
What effect did it have on the HDL? Is anything that would be
HDL? Well, yeah, HDL tends to rise with muscle activity. There's, if you walk 12 miles a day, you'll find a significant rise in your HDL.
Yeah.
So exercise raises HDL, and it's easier to exercise if you have muscle mass because now you're stronger.
Right.
It's hard to exercise when you're tired all the time.
Right.
And you're tired because
about.
You're.
Yeah, 3 to 5 miles a day, 5 days a week.
Okay. Yep.
And Rick, I'm afraid I have to play the heavy here because we are out of time. The 4 hours in a minute is gone.
All right.
So, Rick, thank you for the call.
You might want to come on in. Let us do the free health analysis appointment, do a couple of basic tests on you. And who knows, you might end up being a patient and your cholesterol will probably come right down.
That's right. Got to go though, Rick. Let me just say this final word about the free health analysis appointments. Pretty exciting. We made a major shift on Thursday through rescheduling, staffing issues. We have added a number of health analysis appointments for every month. So we hope to solve this problem ongoing. The bottom line, however, is each of our three clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, and Kirkland now, for the second and third weeks in June, none available real soon, but the second and third weeks in June, each of our three clinics has about 20 of the free health analysis appointments. And so you just go online, and each appointment, you get the two free tests, the blood test, and then, of course, the in-body. and the masks, the KN95 mask, and $100 of longevity supplements. And those appointments are available on a first-come, first-served basis by going to lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com.